rang.
Interviews with haunting gurus.
All right, hanging with me from the rafters is Randy Scalos of the Haunt on Williams. What's up, Randall?
Well, hello there. How you doing?
Dude, you're in the Cleveland Haunt Club group. Jeff Hartz just randomly added me to the Cleveland Haunt Club group on Facebook. I was like, oh, wow, there's some really cool haunters over here that I've never run into before that I just really weren't aware of. And then I got a chance to take a much closer look, because when I asked Jeff, I said, hey, Jeff, I'm looking to highlight a couple of haunters from your area, because I don't think I've ever really tapped into anyone out in the Cleveland area. And he's like, oh, yeah, you got to hit up, you know, you got to hit up Randy, you got to hit up Paul. So I was like, awesome. So anyway, so here we are, and you've been running Haunt on Williams for how many years?
This year will mark 30. 30 years.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. So I challenge all the other hunters out there to see if they can hit 30.
Can you go 30? Do you have the juice to get to 30 years? When people ask me how long I've been haunting, it's hard to nail that down because I kind of started for a couple of years when I was like 11, 12, 13, 14. And then I stopped when I was about 16 and a couple of years had gone by. And then I, you know, so I was like back and forth. I was in, I was out. And then it took a long time for me to get back into and finally get the total sickness where I created my full-blown haunt that I've been running for like about 12 years? No, about been over 12 years because I started before Hauntcast. So talk about your some of the humble beginnings of the Haunt on Williams.
Well, tell you, before we started this version of it, I'm 59 years old, so I was a child of the 60s growing up, and our mother used to help my sister and I always decorate for all the holidays, and we loved to decorate for Halloween, so that meant that we got to purchase all the really cool Halloween decorations of the era, which are all now considered vintage, all the really neat fluorescent painted decorations, the vacuum form decorations, all the things by Denison and some of those other great companies. So we would decorate our porch, and then we'd black out the windows with plastic, and then we blacklit the whole inside of the porch. And that was pretty much for our own enjoyment, and then show off to our friends when they would come over. And then during Halloween, we'd open the porch up so people could come inside and witness the whole Halloween porch. And then, of course, we had the Disney Thrilling Chilling Sounds of the Haunted Mansion album playing. And so
my neighbor used to do that. She did very similar, not with the she threw out some, you know, some cobwebs and dressed like a witch, but she always had that was one of my biggest inspirations, where she had the chilling sounds of the haunted house playing out the window, and I was like, oh, that is like the coolest thing ever. I'm probably the only kid who totally geeked out over it, but that's awesome. So you had the soundtrack going, kind of the dark light, kind of the black light decorations
and
stuff.
Yep, the black light. Yeah.
And I bet you got a great, even simple as that is, I bet you got a really good reaction from that.
Yeah, everyone really liked it. Everyone really liked it. So we did that up until I was 18. And then after that, I went away to school. And then I came back home. And then I told my sister, I said, well, how about if we do something that we, you know, did back in the day with decorating the front yard this time instead of the porch. So we put up one figure in the front yard, and I got a mask from Spencer Gifts, and I put it on a mannequin that I had. It was a Grim Reaper costume, and then we took some plywood and made some tombstones. And for the tombstones, we used the character names from the TV show Dark Shadows, because I used to run home from school like all the other thousands of kids to watch that show. So, you know, we had the tombstones with those character names on it. And then I wanted to have a fog effect. And at that time, you couldn't just go to Kmart or Walmart and buy a fog machine. I had to go to a sound and lighting company over in Erie, Pennsylvania, to rent a fog machine. And it was $50 a day to rent, and they gave you a full tank of fog juice. So, yeah.
Which
so,
was probably big money back. I mean, you're talking about, was that in the 70s?
That would have been 1990.
Oh, yeah, the 90s, yeah. Okay.
1990 was the first year that I used a fog machine. And, like, even back then I was on the cutting edge because, like I said, no one else did that because, you know, they didn't make fog machines consumer-friendly like that. So from there we did the fog machine, and then I went to the following year I was at a costume company in Cleveland, Ohio called Starship Earth, and they had this really cool skeleton animation. It was a skeleton in a window box, and then he'd lean out, and as he would lean out, he'd open the shutters up and he'd look out at you, then he'd lean back in and close the shutters back up. So I rented that from them, and then I asked them when I brought back, I said, where did you get this piece from? And they said, we got this from a company down in Steubenville, Ohio, called the Cregan Company. And back then, Cregan was like one of the very few animation companies around. So I took a trip down to Steubenville, which is only about 2 hours south of me, and I went to the Cregans. I got a tour of their shop and got to see how they built things. And then the salesperson for Cregan said, well, hey, have you ever been to the Chicago Halloween show? And I said, no, I've never been to it. And she goes, well, it's in March, and give me a call in January, and I'll get you passes to get in. Because at the time it was a free show, but you had to have that secret handshake to get into the show. So I was like one of the few people going to the show, you know, just because it was like a very, very private show. So I went there. I saw the Distortions electric chair and all those, you know, big surprises. And like actually, even then, this would have been 1994. Distortions was like the only animation company around next to Cregan. And like Distortion's thing was just mostly, it was the electric chair, and that was pretty much about it. And then their prop line. So then every year after that, after 1994, I always, you know, came back to the show and looked around, and I did a lot of networking. I met up with John Denley and Eric Prinz and just a lot of really big creative people who did these like wonderful, astounding animations I just loved. And so over the years, I started collecting animations and, you know, still attend the Transworld show now. But back then, back in the 90s, I call that like the golden years of haunting. Because that was pretty much like the whole rebirth of the whole haunting industry as what we know it to be today.
Yeah, it must have felt like you were much more of the inner circle, getting to know some of those people, because they were all like the guys behind the curtains, kind of a...
Oh, sure. I mean, absolutely.
YouTube videos and Facebook videos.
Right.
I mean, there's almost nothing you can't find, or everybody's out there.
Yes,
where back then, true. It was probably a little bit more close to the chest as far as these type of things, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The special effects and...
Yeah.
You know,
yep, very
magic.
Much so.
The magic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, Ricky Dick refers to it as the voodoo magic. So, yeah. In fact, the first year I was at Transworld, John Denley's booth, he had this casket vampire figure. It was amazing. You know, maybe we can get some video of it on this. I don't know if you can link that later on or not. But this casket vampire, it was a full skeletal vampire figure in a casket, and when he came to life, his he would talk, and he had been staked, so his hands are holding on to the stake in his chest. So when he starts delivering his speech, the stake moves up and down slowly in his chest while he's delivering his greeting. And I was just so blown away by that. And that was in 94. And then in 2001, I came across that very same casket vampire that a private collector had, and he was getting rid of it. So I bought it, and that was like the beginning of all my collections for my animated figures. And like this day, I still love my casket vampire.
Yeah, I did. That's in your latest video that you had up on Vimeo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a John Denley original.
Yeah. Well, Eric Prinz built it, and then John did the voiceover. I've used John, John is like the best for voiceovers. Him, and then there's another guy, Dick Terhane.
Terhune. Like
both of them. Yeah, okay, Terhune, excuse me. But yeah, both those guys, they are like excellent.
I always get it wrong. It's Terhune.
That's right.
I probably still screwed it up. I screw it up all the time. Dick has never, he's been so cool that he's never like said, "Hey, Chris, by the way, you're not really pronouncing my, you're like almost there, but not fully pronouncing my last name."
Right, yeah. But like both those guys, they are outstanding. I got a scrim painting about 10 years ago, and what scrim is, you paint one image on the scrim. It's a open hold fabric, and then you put a secondary figure behind the scrim, and then when you backlight the scrim, the paint or the print on the scrim itself washes out from the light. And then you see a secondary figure behind. So this scrim painting, it's a picture of a Victorian gentleman in a portrait style. And then when the lights come on, that washes out. And there's this old, wretched corpse behind it. And he talks. And when I got the piece, it was broken. It didn't work. In fact, the guy who I got it from didn't even know what it did. And I said, "Well, I know what it does." And so then I was like looking around, and I took it to get it fixed. But I thought, "Well, I need to get some good voices." So that was when I first met Dick, and he did four incredible voices for my scrim painting, it's like a very, very big hit with all my fans that come out to see my display every year.
Yeah, I was when I was watching the video, because I think I had seen that one, maybe not the scrim effect, but I think, do you also have another? It's either like one of the pictures, or
I've got a magic mirror.
That's also he does the voiceover for.
Well, John did that voiceover too, but Eric Prinz built the magic mirror that I have too.
Yeah, that thing is really cool.
Oh,
so how does that work? How does the magic mirror work? Is it just like a two-way, and when you shine light on it,
it's a two-way mirror. Okay, trade secret here. It's a two-way mirror, and there's black lights inside of it, and when the black lights come on, they reveal the face that's painted with the fluorescent paint. And so when the black light comes on, it reveals the inner face, but you can still see your reflection at the same time. So it's a very, very, very cool effect. And like I said, back then that was 1995. So this was like way before CGI and all the other schlock they have out now. This was, it's old school, but it was brilliant.
Yeah. Have you pretty much, it's worked flawlessly for you all these years? Huh?
All these years. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
In America.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like I said, these were all great, great builders. Eric Prinz, I've got several of his talking animations, and, they're like old, but they like, run like tanks that, I don't have any really main issues with them. And they still wow to this day. They still, really get the, big applause, which is what what I like, you know.
Now, your overall haunt, you have a like a kind of a big long front yard, so you have a smorgasbord of ghouls and zombies and creatures. And
oh yeah,
graveyard all out in the front, and then all you the also front. Have a like walk-in garage. Is that
right? And then you walk up the driveway, and along the way, we have a trio of witches, and John Denny did the voiceover for the witches, and then we have this huge old distortions gargoyle up on the roof that like shoots fog out of his mouth. And so that like kind of welcomes you in, and then the first part of the garage is a patio that we've enclosed, and that's our casket vampire's lair. That's where he greets you, and he's got like five speeches. And in fact, one of the speeches that he delivers, it came from John's Museum of Monsters and Myths that used to be in Salem years ago, and it's like a really cool history of the vampire speech, and like. In like 2 minutes and 45 seconds. But it's a fascinating speech, and everybody just loves to hear it. So then from the casket vampire, then we have another room, and that's just like a, it's more like a collections room. We have our scrim painting in there, the magic mirror, and then we have like a skeleton wedding ceremony, and the skeleton bride and groom, they were made by Eric Prinz. The bride opens and closes her mouth, and she has a rat inside of her mouth. And then back on the wall behind them, we have a moving eye painting of Barnabas Collins. And then the wedding cake has a rat that pops up out of the cake. And then we have a Ouija board in front of that. And it, and the planchette moves across the board. And then we also have a window that looks outside, and it's the TV monitor with like a real bad rainstorm outside, and there's a scarecrow hanging in the tree, a zombie scarecrow hanging in the tree, and the shutters keep opening and closing, and then when it's activated, the shutters close, it lightnings, it thunders, and then the shutters open back up, and then the zombie's right at the window looking at you and breaks the glass and tries to reach in to grab you.
Is that Pale Knight? Is that, who makes that?
Yeah, it was Pale Knight. Yeah.
When I saw it, I could immediately tell. He's got the even some of the higher end, cutting edge stuff from Transworld that I know I've come across.
Oh yeah.
But quite a few of those pieces are from the 90s, right? From
That's cool.
Good that you have that stuff from that far back, and it's still turning out every year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, because like I said, when I went to get the scrim painting, that was totally dead, and the guy, he had no clue what it did, none whatsoever. He goes, well, I don't know what this does, like I do. You know,
that's just junk. I'll give you $5 for it.
Absolutely. and everything I have, I think I pretty much have like the last existing copy, with the exception of maybe the scrim painting. I think there's like one other person, maybe two other people in the country who have a scrim painting, but I've got the only magic mirror. I think there's like maybe one other casket vampire, but it doesn't have all the speeches like what mine has on it. So, but yeah, and you know that's why I try to be. I try to be original, because you know the biggest thing to get shot down is like when you hear somebody say, "Oh yeah, I saw that in the store." It's like, oh, you know.
Yeah, I don't use anything from Spirit or anything like that. I mean. Most of my stuff is either, yeah, it's stuff that I've got from haunted attraction manufacturers, you know, or it's stuff that I've hand built myself. So either way, it's not going to be something that people have seen around.
Exactly.
You were talking in that video, your latest one, and you were saying, yeah, I got these special one of a kind, pieces, and the Pale Knight, I knew Pale Knight was like, okay, great. I know that where that came from, but Yeah, some of these other, like the vampire with the stake in his chest doing the speech,
yeah.
And some of the other animatronics, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen those anywhere. So
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
All right, now we get won't. Why he's. I thought he was just being a braggart, but now he actually does have pieces I can't find anywhere else.
I deliver.
I thought you were just a shit talker, but no, you're not.
No.
Because from coming from one shit talker to another, you know, I talk to a lot of shit. So you got that. I wish I would. Oh man, I would give anything for a 2-car garage. And when I move, it's mandatory that I have at least a 2-car garage.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to have a walkthrough that I could set up, even just a small one like yours, where I could keep everything inside, test it, run it, make sure it works. Anytime I try to do my stuff outside, like with a couple of pneumatic pop-ups and stuff, a lot of times I'm trying to set it up almost the night before Halloween. I've had some of the craziest weather here. We get hit with all kinds of shit storms.
Oh,
so every time I try to do something outside, I'm like last year, it rained all the way up until about 10 a.m. the next morning, so I couldn't set anything electric or animatronic. I mean, there were some things that I have that run outside that are pretty weather protected, but some of like the pop-ups and a few other cool gadgets that I had that I wanted to use, I was like at the last second trying to set it up Halloween day, and a couple of things just didn't, I couldn't pull them off. I couldn't troubleshoot and test them out the night before. So love to have a garage to do that in, but
well, see, and in my case, like when I first started doing this, it was just Halloween night only, and I thought, you know what, this is like so much work, this is really silly to just do it for one night. So then that's when I started doing it. I started open like, you know, 5 nights before Halloween, because that way if there was like one bad night, there were still good nights, you know, for everyone to come and see. And and like I have the big distortions electric gargoyle. I don't know if you're familiar with that piece.
Mm-hmm. But I saw it in the video.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that thing stays outside, and my neighbor, who's like an excellent seamstress, I bought all this waterproof fabric, and then she sewed together these giant slip covers or pillow cases, and I just throw those all over everything, and it keeps everything watertight, so I don't have to worry about any kind of malfunctions with electronics. And you know, so it works out quite well, but like, you know, I mean, that's a lot of work, but it saves you from having to pull everything in every night.
Anything in your collection that you've completely hand built, created from scratch?
I've done like a couple minor things, but you know, mostly I like to look around and see what's out there. One thing that I really like to tell the story about is back in the mid-90s when I first started to do my display, I was like, man, I got to get some more figures. And so there was this pumpkin farm over in Pennsylvania, which is only like outside of Erie, which is about 30 miles east of me. And they had this really cool setup. And they had this old wagon hearse, and they had a real horse skeleton on it. And then I kept looking around at all these figures. I had these figures that were dressed in these kind of like black Amish-looking clothes. And I asked the guy, I said, how come those faces look really creepy? I said, you know, there's just something about those faces that don't look, you know, normal. And he said, oh, he goes, well, I do taxidermy work, and those are deer skulls, and we've broken the noses off them, and then we've glued them over mannequin faces, and then we painted them like a light ivory green. And so then, like 2 years later, because you know, me and my sister go to this guy's house every year to buy pumpkins. He goes, this is the last year that I'm doing it. You know, we've been doing this for 20 years. He goes, if you want to buy any display pieces, just let me know. So I got his hearse, I got his skeleton horse, and then I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6 of these figures with the deer skull faces. 4 of them were adults, and 2 of them were child-sized mannequins. And they all have the deer skull over the face. And to this day, they still really enthrall my guests when they come to come to check it out.
That horse is, those are actually horse bones, real horse bones?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. So that was pretty amazing. In fact, the family who used to own all that stuff, they come out now to my place to see it. And it's like a real, like kind of a homecoming for them, you know, because they sewed all those clothes themselves, and the grandmother sewed some of the clothes, and she gave them that old school, old fashioned look. And so, yeah.
Now, there was a zombie prop that you have that it looks like he's pushing himself out of the ground. And I said, oh, that kind of looks like the Casa of Fear zombie, if you've ever seen that build. Yeah, that's all pneumatic driven. But what's the deal? Where'd you pick that zombie up? You know what I'm talking about? It looks like he's kind of pushing himself. It's like kind of groundbreaking him.
That was one of the distortions animations. Oh, yeah. Rising Dead. But I did get, and you know, I like to drop names. I did get two of the Beastcraft animations. The one is the Crouching Ghoul, and then the other one is the skeleton popping up out of the coffin with his head in his hands. Then he looks up at you, and then he like slides back down the coffin. Those are like two very, very awesome pieces.
Wow. What is that called? The crouching.
Crouching ghoul.
The crouching ghoul. Oh man.
Yep.
The motion
ghoul
of him is so fluid.
It's
he just
very,
kind
very
of
nice.
Rocks back and
it's
forth.
Beautiful.
In like a squat. Yeah. Like crouching. He just kind of sways, and he's got that crazy gray hair, and that's an amazing prop.
Oh, it is.
It's such a cool prop.
It is.
That is
electric.
It's all electric. Just plug and play.
I've got three air-driven pieces out front, and then in the garage area, like just about everything in the garage area is all air-driven too.
And the coffin is also just
The casket vampire is all a pneumatic, and then he's driven by a little computer where this was back in the 90s when there were no Picoboos or anything like that for controllers. Like Eric Prinz and his group, they built these controllers by hand, and so when the casket vampire talks, you hear the thunder, and then it's hooked up to a strobe, so the strobes fire to make the lightning effect, and it's just such a grand show. You know, I can't say enough about it here. You know, 20 some years later, I like it because it's so unique. You won't see anything like it anywhere else. You know, that's one thing that I'm very forthcoming with anybody who comes to visit my display, you know, when we're open, and there's like so much to look at and so much to take in. And
I dug the hanging vamps, those hanging vampires.
From Distortions, those bats.
Yeah, those
I love those bats. Those are so wicked. So wicked.
You've got, there was also another really cool one. This looks like it probably came from way back. It's like a bride doing like a Lizzie Borden routine.
Oh yeah,
you know?
That is a bride that Eric Prinz made. And back when I first met him back in 2001, he said, I'm going to make a talking bride character, and it's going to go out to SeaWorld for their Halloween event over in San Diego. And he goes, and so I'm looking for an old bride's dress. I said, well, you know, I said, I have one. It was my aunt's. I was going to do a bride character with it, but you can have it. So then I gave him this dress in 2001. He built this incredible bride. It was in SeaWorld San Diego for a couple years. And then from there, it went to the Darkness in St. Louis, Missouri. And then it went to Seven Floors of Hell in Cleveland, Ohio. Then it went to House of Horrors in Buffalo. And then it went back to Seven Floors of Hell in Cleveland. And then by now we're looking at 2010. And so I was talking to the owner of that attraction for Seven Floors of Hell, Rodney, and I said, "Hey," I said, "are you looking to sell the bride?" And he says, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm, you know, ready to take sell her." So then I got her. And back when my friend Tim Bunch had the bride in Buffalo House of Horrors, he was having trouble with it. So then I took it to Eric Prynne's shop for him in New Jersey, and Eric fixed it. And when Eric was loading it into my car, he goes, "Listen," he goes, "I know that you're going to own this prop at some point." So that prophecy came true 6 years later. You know, I was the owner of the Talking Bride, and again, that was like a really good speech. You know, it was 13 years ago today that my husband buried me, and then that's where she says, like Lizzie Borden, "I took an axe and I gave my hubby 50 whacks." You know, so that's like another really nice animation that everyone really likes.
Got anything new coming up this year? Are you doing anything?
You know
different?
What? I'll tell you what. You know, every year I say, "Oh, no more, not going to do no more, no more." And so a friend of mine in Buffalo made me some really nice scenic panels. They're crypt-looking panels. He made me some scenic panels that I'm going to put out front, and then there'll be like a backdrop for some of my other figures. And then, because this is my 30th anniversary, I thought, well, I'd like to do something else just to really show the whole 30th anniversary. So I bought a piece from Unit 70 called the Shallow Grave, and this thing's really cool. And I'm going to use it. It's going to be in my Casket Vampire's room, and the Shallow Grave's going to startle a lot of guests. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Unit 70, once again, one of the big dogs.
I got a couple
of their pieces out in the yard. Venus Flytrap. It's the small flytrap, not the big animated one.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Dr. Mandible, he's kind of the genetic engineer doctor who behind all of the other creatures and stuff. I didn't use him last year. So yeah. I'm going to bring them back this year, and once again, everybody will think it's
good.
Brand new.
Sure,
that's
sure,
what you do.
Sure.
You could even rotate some things out some years, and when you put them back out, everybody's like, "Oh, it's brand new." They don't even, you know, they don't remember.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I've had things in my. I'm sure you've run across this, where you have something out there for 20 years or 10 years. And, you know, it's a staple in your yard. And then people will walk up and go, "Oh, is that new?" They've been coming every year, but they still think it's new. And they're like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah.
I was working my ass off this year. Yeah, it's new. Yep, sure.
Oh, absolutely. But I'll tell you, speaking of Unit 70, if, you know, like when you go into their shop, it's like walking into a whole nother world.
Now,
it's
they're like, in Ohio, correct?
Yeah, Columbus. Okay. Yeah, so I went to Columbus and picked this up directly from them. So, you know, and that's like part of the fun too. When you buy from them, is you get to go right to the shop to pick it up. It's like, you know, and it's just something else when you walk in that shop.
Shipping costs a friggin' a couple hundred bucks, so you know, anywhere between 100 to 200 or whatever, depending on how big the product is. But so if you can drive and pick it up, it's such,
it's
such a
bonus. lot easier. It is. So that's everything that I do. You know, 30 years is quite a achievement, I think. And then back when I hit 25 years, 5 years ago, and this is a very interesting thing. I'm glad that I'm remembering this. Back for my 25th anniversary, my city where I live in Conneaut, Ohio, they called me to a council meeting, and they made up some bogus reason why they wanted me there. And what they really wanted me there for was they gave me a proclamation from the city honoring me for 25 years of my haunt on Williams. And in addition to that, for the last 15 years, the city, every year during trick-or-treat, they close off both ends of my street so there's no car traffic so everyone can walk down the street peacefully and, you know, trick or treat from house to house.
Man, you got an awesome town. Because
so that's really, yeah, really nice. Because, you know, I hear so many horror stories online from people saying my city doesn't like me, my neighbors hate me, and, you know, but like here where I'm at, you know, I'm in like little population, 11,000, you know, town here, and my neighbors, I've known them all my life, and they like embrace what I do, and it makes the other neighbors like decorate their yards for Halloween, and it's just a really, really nice community thing. So I'm very, very fortunate.
From being one of those people who has to deal with bullshit from their neighbors in the town, you're a lucky, lucky man, my friend.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. And I make sure everyone knows that, too, because not everyone's been as fortunate as me.
So if people want to catch this extravaganza, the Haunt on Williams, one, what town is it located? Oh, actually, throw out the address if you
don't mind. It's 585 Williams Street in Conneaut, Ohio. I have a Facebook page. It's Haunt on Williams Street, I think, is the Facebook page. And then I also have a website, hauntonwilliams.com. And the Facebook page, I throw up a lot of teasers for like some of the new things. And in fact, I put the posting up of us doing this show tonight that will be appearing soon. So you know, the Facebook page helps us get a lot of traffic, and we get people to come out from Buffalo and from Cleveland and from down near Youngstown.
Give me some rough numbers. How many people do you think are coming through?
Well, I'll tell you what, like, because right now I open the last 8 days of the month. Sometimes it's 10, depending on how the days fall. And, you know, during the week, it's still a pretty decent crowd. But, you know, Saturdays and Sundays and Fridays, it's very busy. And then, like, on Halloween night, we pass out glow sticks so we can count. And we do probably around 2,000 trick-or-treaters on Halloween night, which, you know, for like a town, 11,000, that's like pretty big, you know. But like I said, and like a lot of people come from, you know, other parts of the area just to come and visit us. And you know, now we're at the point where we have generations coming back. I have one guy who says, yeah, my grandma used to bring me here when I'm 5, and now he's 30. So that's like a really, you know, that's like probably one of your best compliments when you hear people who like give you their testimonials. You know, that makes you feel good, and it makes you feel like you've like done something good for other people as well.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, so we'll see how long this keeps going. I don't know, but
keep doing what you're doing. Keep inspiring a new generation of haunters.
I hope, anyway.
I know. Let's hope. A couple of kids out of there, man. I'm sure that they will end up growing up and doing something cool. All right, great, man. I guess that's it, Randy.
Well, this is good. I'm really glad I had the pleasure to talk to you.
Maybe we'll be back. Maybe we'll have you back again if we're around for another decade. We'll see what happens.
Oh, that'd be great.
I wouldn't count on it, but Anyway, always a pleasure, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me again. I'm so glad, because I'll tell you, I have a story to tell, and I think it's a pretty unique and, you know, very good story that people would, you know, like to hear.
All right. We'll catch you around the net.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunted Halloween brethren. Until next time. stay scary.